Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise, 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 praise.
Hallelujah.
We're so grateful for the opportunities to learn from the Word, to hear from God. And we're just, we don't ever want to take these opportunities lightly,
right.
Or these things. Everything's okay. They know what they're doing, so you can just look up front. Glory to God. We're going to look at some scriptures in the Word. We actually, of course, my husband's ministering some on the kingdom of God. And I was here a couple weeks ago, and we started in that vein as well. We want to look at some scriptures again today on that subject. But these are familiar scriptures to us, meaning we've either just read them or we read them frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a subject we talk about frequently, and we're talking about the peace of God today. But it's an area that must be ministered on frequently, because it's an area in which we will continually be tempted to forsake this functioning in the peace of God. If we remember in Romans 14, 17, what we've been looking at for several weeks now in these scriptures, as we were ministering on this term, the kingdom of God, in Romans 14, 17, it says, "For the kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So in this one little verse, we get a little capsule, a little insight into what the main contributors or the main factors of this kingdom that God rules, what God's kingdom operates in, what his functioning laws are, right? So we have this natural realm. The functioning laws on this earth are things like gravity, you know, right? There are certain laws. They work every time, whether you want them to or not.
Yes.
And that's what this natural, this earth kingdom, that's what that offers. You know, they have natural laws. And then we have a governmental kingdom, right? We live in the United States,
yes,
of America, and they have laws. Well, the same with God's kingdom.
Yes.
And when we got born again, we automatically came out of what we would call the kingdom of darkness,
yes,
what the Bible calls the kingdom, yes, of darkness. What is that? That's the natural kingdom. And guess who's God of that natural kingdom? The God of the natural kingdom is the devil,
right.
Satan, right? He's the God of the natural. And the Bible tells us in different places, actually, in several different places, that anyone who doesn't know God or isn't a part of God's kingdom, they are functioning according to the laws of that natural kingdom. And therefore, they're being governed, whether they realize it or not. They're being led, they're being governed by Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when I first heard about the things of God, that was hard for me to get. I was like, I'm not being controlled by something evil. But you understand, when the Bible talks about something evil, it simply means they're natural.
Yeah. Right.
They're functioning in a natural world. They are without God.
Yes.
Without God's help, without God's goodness. Not that God is not wanting to be good.
Right.
Because God sent Jesus for all, right? He provided a way for his goodness to reach all. But because they are in the natural kingdom and they don't know about the kingdom of God, that God's goodness can't function in their life like it could if they'd come into this kingdom of God. So as Christians, we want to know about this kingdom. Because the moment we got born again, he gave us entrance into the kingdom. Like we were saying during worship, we now, as born again believers, have access to him in all of his goodness, in all of his mercy. We have all of his grace available to us.
Right.
We can function 100% in his kingdom. Yeah. So we need to know what his kingdom's like. And so these three components, his righteousness, this kingdom is made up of his rightness, his goodness.
Yes.
And the more we know about who we are in that righteousness, what he's done for us, the more we'll be able to function in his kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this phrase, the peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I believe last week, I listened to last week, it was really good. And then on Tuesday, even some, you picked it up, I heard. I didn't hear Tuesdays because it wasn't recorded. But we talked about this joy in the Holy Spirit, or this spiritual flow of joy, right?
Yeah.
There's something that's on, this kingdom is on the inside of us when we get born again. It comes to live on the inside of us.
Yes.
And so now we've got a different operating system,
right.
A different way of doing things.
Amen.
Than just living in the natural.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so this spiritual flow of joy, it's different than natural joy.
Yes.
It's different than being happy when circumstances are favorable, right?
Mm-hmm.
This spiritual flow of joy is something that in any circumstance and at any time we can look down on the inside, and like Isaiah says, we can draw up from the wells of salvation with joy. We can draw up some joy. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen.
We can draw up joy, and we can by faith tap into God's joy.
Amen.
And when we do, as was ministered, we God's power gets into that flow of joy.
Yes.
And it changes the natural situation.
Yes.
It's
Amen.
A different outlook. It's a different way of conducting life.
Yes.
And then when I was here a couple weeks ago, we started looking at this this word peace, because peace is another operating system. It's another law in the kingdom of God. And without peace, we are not going to be functioning at 100% in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enemies to peace. There are things that will try to pull us out of peace. Now, last week, I wasn't here. I went to visit my sister. I had never gone. She lives in Martha's Vineyard, which is an island off of Massachusetts. And beautiful place, quite beautiful. I got my fill of water, oceans, rivers, streams, marshes. It's quite lovely, but it is an island. The only way to get there, you can fly in on a little plane, or you can take a ferry from the mainland across. It takes effort to get to that island.
Yes.
And once you're there, it takes effort to get off the island.
Yes.
And there's two different types of people that go to that island. There's people like my sister. Now, my sister, for all of her adult life, has lived on an island. She used to live in Manhattan. The difference with, I say that, she lived in Astoria, she worked in Manhattan, but New York City, you know what I'm saying. Manhattan's an island, but it's surrounded with bridges.
Yes.
You can easily get off the island,
right?
And she lived there for well over a decade, and then she started going to this other island, which was harder to get to. But part of that draw for her was that once you got there, you were disconnected from the mainland. And
yes.
she liked that, because there was an element, just naturally speaking, there was an element of disconnect, there was an element of getting away.
Yes.
from,
yes,
if we could say it, the rat race of New York City, of the heat of working, the pace of work,
yes,
on the mainland.
Yes.
And it intrigued her so much that she eventually purchased a home there and got a full-time job there, and now she lives there full-time. So one type of person that is on that island are the full-timers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And once you become a full-timer on that island, you don't go off island very much. Number one, it's costly. You either have to buy a plane ticket, or you have to pay to drive onto a ferry and spend an hour and a half going across to the mainland, and then book a ticket to drive back. And it costs, even for someone who lives on island, a resident, it still costs like $150 round trip to get off the island. And that's to go to Target.
Yeah.
And so you learn very quickly on this island that there's a lot you can do without. And you learn to be, if we could say this, self-sufficient on your island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything from the mainland you need, you just order it in, right? You just ship it in instead of going to that island. And I realized the kingdom of God very much operates like this.
Wow.
Because the other type of person on this island of Martha's Vineyard is the vacationer. They come in. They spend a week, maybe two, and then they leave. They come in, they enjoy the peace, they go shopping, they do their thing. That was me. I came in for 3 days. I flew in, I flew back out. It's a different way of doing things, right? Those type of people, they never unwind. They never get into, I kept looking at my sister like, wow, this is different. Like, I don't know if I could do this, mm-hmm, like not go to the mall. I don't know that I'm there where I could just
right,
say, never mind. I don't need that part of the rat race or that part of the mainland. I don't need that. It's a different outlook on the island. So you've got your vacationer who just kind of pops in, enjoys it for a few days, and then pops off. Mm-hmm. Well, as a Christian, if God's kingdom is an island of peace, mm, and joy and righteousness, we're supposed to live there full time.
Full time.
Wow.
Full time.
That's yes, good.
That means that it should take effort to get off the island.
Wow. Yeah.
Take effort to get off the island. Come on.
Right?
Absolutely.
That you're going to be buying a ticket. You're going to be paying a cost to get off the island. But too many Christians are so used to the natural realm, the natural kingdom, that they actually just think of the kingdom of God as something we do on Sunday morning. And we just buy a ticket and we go over there on Sunday and we enjoy that peace and joy. And oh, wasn't that a good service? That was great. And then we get off island. Mm-hmm. And we start living in the natural kingdom again. It's not the way God designed it. God designed us to get on the island and stay. Get on the island and stay. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. How do we stay in this realm of peace? Because that's where the answers are for our life. In this kingdom of peace, mm-hmm, and joy and righteousness. That's where we can function as a Christian.
That's good.
To full capacity. Yeah.
Thank you.
And but there's ways to get off the island. And there's ways to get on the island. And we want to know those ways. We want to recognize those ways. Reverend Joel and I, we've spent our whole Christian lives tweaking and fine-tuning ourselves, our thinking, our way of living, so that we always stay on island.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we even think about getting on that ferry to go across. We've put some guardrails in our life that the Holy Spirit will remind us, you know, there's a little buzzer that goes off on the inside of us, like, getting off island.
Yeah.
We're about to float away. Be careful. And so we want to know what these are. We want to know what the scriptures say about these things.
Yes.
so that we're aware. Like I said, for me going in to visit my sister, well, of course, I'm not supposed to live there in the natural, right? So there's no grace to do that. If I was supposed to live there, for me, there'd be grace to do it, and you'd be able to do it. But I think for Christians as a whole, we get this idea like, I could never do that. The pastor, she can do that. She can live in this realm of peace, but I could never do that. And that's the way I was when I was visiting my sister, just naturally speaking, like, I don't think I could do this, live out here. But we've got to be careful of that thinking, because if God has given us the opportunity to be a part of this kingdom of God, then we all have the ability to live there.
That's
Amen.
Right.
We all have
the ability within us. And what is that ability? It's God's grace. And so we need to learn how to tap into that grace and be able to recognize when we're not cooperating with that grace. And there are things in the scripture that will tell us when we're out of that grace, when we've gone off island, and when we're on the island of peace. Amen?
Wow.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go there because, well, let's just turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll get into this thing. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's look at start with verse 4. Let's do that. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say, rejoice. Oh, do we have to talk about joy and peace? Yes. of course, we know Paul, this is one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote this while in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Prison is never a fun option. Although, actually, just visiting my sister, I did see their little prison. And she said that some people have volunteered to stay there overnight because it's really nice inside. but that was not the kind of prison Paul was in. It was nasty, guys. I'm not going to go into all that was going on there, but it was on the lower parts of the city where the sewers were. Let's just say that. It was not a pleasant place. And yet, if you look at these prison epistles, these letters that were written while he was in prison, they're some of the most joyful.
Yes.
There's this call throughout Philippians and these other epistles that he wrote, these letters, to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Mm-hmm. Paul learned how to get on the island and not leave. That is the kingdom, operate in this kingdom of God, no matter what the circumstances were around, no matter what was floating by his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He could operate in a different kingdom and live in a place of joy and peace. When he could easily be beheaded the next day.
Right.
That's a level of operating in the kingdom of God that it takes some practice, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't something that we just, boom, we get born again, and now we've got peace and joy, and we just function there all the time. No, these things require effort, right? To get to that island for my sister, it took me years to get there, to line up where I could get there with time zones and traveling, and the airplanes only go during certain times of the year. And, you know, it took effort to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand for the people that live there why they don't want to come off. Because it's some serious coordination to get off and back on again.
Right.
So let's just get on the island and stay.
Yeah.
So we rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. He goes on to say, let your reasonableness, some translations say moderateness, or there's...
gentleness.
Yes, gentleness. Thank you. That was the other one. Your gentleness be known to everyone. That means your ability to just walk around even keeled, if we could say it that way. Not fly off the handle. Your ability to stay steady in every circumstance. That's an art. That's an art. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Glory to God. Do not be anxious about what?
Anything.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I say these verses are familiar to us because if you've been around the things of God for any period of time, you've probably heard verse 6 and 7.
Sure.
And you might even be able to quote it. You should be able to quote it. And it might come up from time to time. And here's the thing. There's going to be seasons in your life where you might have to actually say out loud to yourself, be anxious for nothing.
Yes.
Be anxious for nothing.
Anxious for nothing. That's right.
That's verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. And what we need to realize is that this is a different island, right? This is a different place than the mainland of thinking natural, operating in worry, always being in fear about what might happen, or what if this happens, what if that's going to do, you know, what if the economy does this. This is a different way of operating. This is the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And anxiety, worry, fear of the future, fear from the past, fear of any kind, it's getting you off the island. You just bought yourself a ticket back to the natural kingdom.
Wow.
Yes,
ma'am.
And the enemy wants you in his kingdom.
Yes.
He wants you to function in his kingdom. He actually doesn't even care if you're born again. Once you got born again, there's not much he can do about that, right? But if he can get you to just live in his realm, even as a born-again Christian, yes, you know, he takes a defeat in that you're going to heaven when you die. But if he can just get you to live in worry and anxiety and fear and stay on his land, stay in his kingdom, well, he's won 85% of the battle, because part of our job on this earth is to live in a different kingdom so that people look at us and say, whoa, I want to live like you do.
Yes.
How do you do that?
Right.
Yes.
And so this idea that, you know, sometimes you just can't help but be worried about certain things. You know, I understand God doesn't want us to worry about everything. I get that. But, you know, you can't help but worry about your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, you know, they're your kids. You're supposed to worry about, you know, What if this happens at school? And what if that happens? What if they don't do this right? What if they don't grow up to do this? We've got to watch this. As Christians, we've got to watch because there is no point. He says, do not be anxious about
anything.
That's right.
Yep.
That's a big word.
It is.
And I don't care how long you've served Christ, there's going to be opportunities to worry.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, I pass up marvelous opportunities to worry. Marvelous opportunities. And he would tell the time where he had just gotten behind financially. And, you know, he told, he had supposed to be making payments on a vehicle that he had. And he went down to the dealership or the bank or whatever, wherever he had. And he said, you know, I can't make this month's payment. And he said, well, okay, just double it next month. And he said, okay, but this happened for 3 months in a row. And so he went to tell him, I don't think I can make next month's payment. And he said, okay, we'll just turn the car in. You know, so, you know, I won't charge you extra or whatever. Just turn the car back in. You've been kind and you've told me what's going on. So we won't make a big fuss about it legally, or just bring the car back in. So he said, you know, it's the day before he's supposed to turn the car back in. You think the enemy wasn't talking to him? Who needs the enemy? Your mind will just help you out with that. Like, what are you going to do? 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 He was a traveling minister. Yeah. The only way he traveled was in his vehicle. That was his livelihood, to get from place to place. Right. No vehicle, no traveling, no ministering.
That's right.
No income. And so when he said he passed up marvelous opportunities, he meant it. And he said he would go to bed and he'd say, Father, I'm handing this to you. I'm going to pass this worry, this care. I'm going to give this to you. And I'm not going to worry about it. This takes effort. It yes. takes practice. And the first thing we have to do is realize when worry comes. Yes. When anxiety comes, because it can creep in when we're not realizing it. Mm-hmm. I remember when my kids were younger. Of course, we raised them. We were living at the time in Western New York, and we lived near lots of bodies of water. There was Great Lakes. There's Niagara Falls. There's all kinds of things around. Lots of little lakes, lots of places to go camping or vacation. And I didn't realize at first, but when my kids were coming up, I would have dreams. And in these dreams, one of my children was drowning. And I'd wake up in a panic. You know, it's a period of time would pass and then it would happen again. And I didn't realize, but what the enemy was trying to do, because it was, if you wake up in fear after a dream, that's the enemy.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's not God. Right. Don't wake up and think, oh, God's trying to tell me something. If you're in fear, if there's fear attached to it, if there's fear present, right. If you wake up in a sweat, right?
Right.
Just understand that's the enemy. And you are authorized, just like we're authorized to tell the angels to go, like we were saying during the offering, you are authorized to tell, no, Satan, that's not God. That's not godly, and I'm not taking that thought. Yeah. What he's trying to do, he's so crafty. He'll try, while you're asleep, while your mind's shut down, he'll try to insert fear, anxiety,
right.
And worry. And you wake up, and you're like, huh. And if you don't deal with those things right then, we're talking about ways you get off island without even realizing it, right? You've bought the ticket without even realizing that you're on the boat. He was actually putting into me this fear of my kids being around water. Well, I didn't put two and two together for quite some time. But I mean, we would, whenever we had guest ministers or people come visit us, we take them to Niagara Falls. And I was like this with my kids. You stay by me. And I didn't even realize it, that I was actually in fear. Why? Because those dreams were planting things in me. I'm not saying I had that dream every night, not even every month, but just once in a while, he'd drop that. And because I didn't recognize it for what it was, it took me a while to catch on that I was yielding to that fear. We say subconsciously, but you know what I'm saying? It was just kind of in the back of my mind.
Yes.
Because he had planted it there.
Yeah.
And I had to recognize that and put my foot to it, meaning I had to kick it out of my mind. How do you do that? How do you kick a thought out of your mind? Well, it starts by getting on the island of peace. Father, you put your peace in me. And so he says, do not be anxious about anything, but if there's anxiety there, what do? In everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will come and guard your heart and your mind. The peace of God is designed not just to be in your heart, but to guard your mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want us to see today. Yes. There's a guarding of our mind that the peace of God can do, that nothing else can do. And so when I realized that subconsciously, for whatever reason, I didn't recognize that there was this fear planted in me with my children drowning. And I had to come to the point, and it was actually at a place, and I don't remember if it was Niagara Falls or if we were just near a body of water, but I remember probably my son was the oldest. I remember just grabbing his shoulders and holding on to him and thinking, that's strange. You know, because the Spirit of God's on the inside of you, and he'll alert you when we want to recognize these things. We want to pay attention to these things. And I grabbed him and just brought him to me. Now, that's not to say just let your kids run anywhere, right?
You know? Right.
Especially if you're near a large body of water that's moving quickly where people die. Okay? So there's a balance there, right? But I'm saying I recognize with the help of the Holy Spirit that something was causing me to panic. There was anxiety there. And that's not godly. And I had to stop and go home and say, Father, there's fear in there that's causing. Fear causes worry and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's realize that it's fear that causes these things.
Yes.
And I recognize that somehow I let that in, and I'm sorry about that.
Yes.
And so your word says I'm to be anxious for nothing.
Amen.
I'm not to be anxious about anything. So I'm coming to you. What am I? I'm praying, right? I'm talking to God. That's just talking to God. I'm coming to you, and I say, I put that over on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I realize that you are our protection.
Yes.
And that you've given us your angels to give charge over us and our children, to keep us in all our ways. What am I doing? I'm recalling what the word says about who I am and what I have.
Yes.
I have protection. My children have protection because I'm on the island.
Amen.
Right.
I'm in the kingdom of God, right?
That's right.
And I'm operating, I'm coming to him realizing that I don't want to operate in fear because that's a different place.
Right.
Yes.
And if I operate by fear, I'm subject to all that fear would bring.
Amen.
That's big. If I operate in fear, then I'm subject to all that Satan's land has to offer.
That's right.
Which is the culmination of that fear, the fruition of that fear.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want that. So I've got to get myself to this peace,
yes.
Right? How do we do it? When we recognize anxiety, worry, and fear. I know this might say we've heard these verses, but this is so practical and we need to hear these things. Mm-hmm. When we recognize big, small, it could be so subtle. Like I said, that dream, just once in a while. And I didn't really think much of it until that action that I had because of those dreams came into play. And I realized, oh, wait a minute, that's not peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Have fun. But here's the thing. A couple years after I saw that, God dealt with us that he had a second home for us, a vacation place. And we wound up purchasing a little cabin on a lake. Mm-hmm. We had rowboats and kayaks. We had a dock where we could jump off and swim. What if I had not put my foot to that fear?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if I made my kids walk around with life jackets anytime they were outside?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, Mom, we're making s'mores. I'm not going to get in the water. It's okay. You know, like what if I had yielded to that? The blessings that God had in store for our life,
right,
for the faithfulness in our serving, would not be able to be enjoyed the way he intended. Mm-hmm. Because something that Satan had planted so many years back was not dealt with. Because I put foot to that and realized that and came to God and said, Father, that this isn't my care. This is not even of you. If I'm serving you, you will protect my children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You will take care,
yes,
of that which I care about.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Because I was able to recognize that and get that, the peace of God came. That passes understanding.
Amen.
That passes saying, you should be afraid. I mean, my kids took swimming classes on that lake, and one of the things was they had to swim from one side of the lake to the other.
Wow.
Now, they had a instructor with them in a canoe. Like, the instructor went in the canoe. Like, yeah. I'm not swimming that. You, good luck. But there were things that they had to do, and there was no worry or fear at all. Why? Because God never intended us to live a life of worry and anxiety. That's the mainland. That's the natural kingdom.
Amen.
We are to live on the island of peace. Just peace.
Yes.
Only peace.
Yeah.
Everlasting peace. And this peace will guard not just our spirit, not just our heart, but it guards our mind.
This is good.
Yes.
Thank you.
It
Amen.
Guards our mind. So there's a couple different translations of this. Let's look at, in verse 7, let's just look at the Amplified. Praise the Lord. This is good preaching. And God's peace shall be yours.
Mine. Yes.
Shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of losing a job. I'm not afraid of when income stops. I'm not afraid of what might happen to my children. I am not afraid of what might happen in my marriage. I'm not afraid. I fear nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. But we've got to recognize, as the minute fear shows its head, the minute worry or anxiety comes up, we need to learn to recognize it and say, oh, no, you don't.
Amen.
Oh, no, you don't. No, not here.
Not here.
Not here. Mm-hmm. And the way you get rid of it, by prayer and supplication, you have to come to God and say, God, I'm choosing. You have to out loud say, I'm choosing not to worry.
That's right.
Amen.
About this. And I'm trusting you to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that peace where I can be content no matter if I just got a notice that my job is ending. If I just got a notice that our employees just quit, I can still be content. Why? Mm-hmm. Because my peace isn't affected by outward circumstances.
Amen.
When I'm on the island of peace, I'm guarded. I'm undisturbed. One translation says, I'm not disquieted. I stay quiet. My inward man remains quiet.
Amen.
There's peace. You can do whatever you want, but it's not going to affect my peace. It's not going to affect my joy. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Whatever earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that kind of peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison. Now that's like a military kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Till garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds. This is a military operation. We're building a fortress here. That old hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. It's supposed to be for our mind, right? That fortress is supposed to put a guard. I mean, think old English castle.
Yeah.
Still standing after so many thousands of years, right?
Yes.
Garrison, mount guard. This peace will act as a fortress for you to live your life in.
Yes.
Glory to God. That's when people start looking at you and saying, oh, wow, you operate differently. Yeah, I'm on an island,
yes.
And I don't go off. I don't get off for anxiety. I don't come off for worry.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't come off for fear. Certainly not for fear. I'm not going to get off the island. Instead, when those things start to attack my mind and come towards me, listen, the mind is the enemy's playground.
Yes.
And if he can keep you mental, if he can keep you thinking, going over, what are we going to do about this?
Right.
What happens with it?
Right.
When are we supposed to do that? When is this supposed to happen? Now, again, you have to use your mind. You have to keep a calendar. There's certain things you have to do, like show up at work at a certain time, right? We're not saying we just blow those things off. But we're talking about anything that the enemy brings, like fear, anxiety, worry, the what ifs, what are you going to do's, anything like that. If he can keep you rolling that over in your mind, he's got you.
Yeah, yeah.
You just went off island. He just got you to buy the ticket without even realizing it. Don't buy the ticket.
Amen.
Glory to God. Anxiety is an operation of the mind. It needs the mind. The enemy needs your mind to feed. He needs your mind to feed on what he's planting to you. Our job is to kick it out of the mind and drop into what our spirit says, because that's where the kingdom of God is.
Yes.
And when our enemy says, "What are you gonna?" or when our mind says, "What are you gonna do?" we have to say, "Holy Spirit, thank you for all that you've put in me, and that you know what we're supposed to do." You've got to drop it down to thank God for the joy and the peace that's on the inside of me. I'm going to yield to joy and peace today.
Amen.
Thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. It guards my heart.
Amen.
It guards my mind today.
Amen.
And I'm refusing to take anything that the enemy's trying to throw at me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Is that helping us today?
That's help.
Hallelujah.
That's help.
To step out of peace, or to step off the island of peace, is to step into the flesh. What's the flesh? Just our natural man. To step off the island of peace, to step out of peace, is to step into the flesh, where we're subject to the flesh, where we're subject to the temperament of the flesh. Meaning, if we step out of peace and we let the flesh take over, we're going to find strife. We're going to find envy or jealousy. The Bible talks about every evil work. It's in the flesh. All that stuff. Anxiety. We're going to find anxiety and worry if we step out of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we stay in peace, the enemy can't touch us with those things.
Yeah.
That peace guards our minds. It guards our minds. It guards our minds.
Amen.
So this is something we practice. And actually, later on in verse 8, we won't get there today, but Paul tells us what to think on.
Right.
Yes.
there's anything lovely or just or pure or good, think on those things. Why? Because we've got to get our mind off of what the enemy's saying and start thinking. What are other things he tells us to think on? The Word, Him, Jesus, His Spirit, His goodness, His peace. We're to think on God's things.
Yes.
And then Paul says, and then you need to practice these things.
Amen.
You've got to be able to practice these. We don't just automatically function in joy and peace.
Right.
We don't just automatically know who we are in Christ. That's why Paul was so specific about telling us what the kingdom of God is. Not eating and drinking. It's not the natural mainland. Don't go there. It's a different island. It's a different place entirely. It's a different place. And we need to learn how to not just go visit there on Sunday morning, but we need to learn how to move over there and stay.
Yes.
Stay.
Amen.
My sister, she went back and forth. She subletted her apartment and she would live on this other island for, you know, a period of time and then go back to New York. She did that for a little bit. She had some temporary jobs and she would go back and forth and float back and forth. And finally, one day she said, you know what? This island's better. It's more peaceful. And that's just naturally. She goes, I'm just going to move there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so some Christians we see as they're growing, you might vacillate back and forth, not even meaning to.
Sure.
But you're just not so sure you want to step full on the island of peace. Trust me, you do.
Yes.
You do.
Yes. Amen.
You want to be full on.
Amen. Full on.
All in. Glory to God.
All in.
All in.
Amen.
Never getting the ticket off. Praise God. So let me just read you one more verse. Well, it's the same verse, verse 7, but in the Passion Translation, and then we'll dismiss. It says, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
Yes.
The enemy will tell you if the only way you'll figure out the problem is to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God's telling us the only way you'll get the right answer is to kick worry out, give the care to God, and let peace make the answer known to you.
Outstanding.
Wow. Praise God. Why don't we stand to our feet? Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that it is righteousness and peace and joy. And help us this week to endeavor to live in this place.
Yes.
Your kingdom, your peace, your joy. And if there's anything hindering us from fully functioning in your peace, please reveal it to us. Help us to see it. Help us to recognize it and give it all to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.